Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're thankful that you've joined us. We're glad to be rolling again here in the fall. We've enjoyed having the summer off, but it was good to record a program with Leah for last time, the 60th episode of our podcast, and we're glad you joined us for the 61st episode of our podcast, and we are pleased to be joined this week, as we mentioned on last week's program, with a follow-up to that, by Brother Wesley Hazel, a good friend of mine, all the way from the southern part of Georgia. Wes, welcome to the program.
Hi, Adam. Good to talk to you today.
Wes is one of those people that I've wanted to have on the podcast, but honestly, Wes, I've been just a little bit hesitant because we know each other too well, and this could get way off the tracks real fast.
Yeah, I've got some good stories if we have time to tell those later.
I think we don't have time for those. Just guessing. As recording this, just a few days before you and I recorded, I spoke at Henderson, Tennessee, and Gary McKnight, who knows me really well, introduced me. Wes, when I got to speak, I said that the nerves are now off because Brother Gary could have said a whole lot more that would have made the people really not want to listen to me than he did. And I kind of feel that way with you, that either one of us could probably pretty much, you know, just take the whole program and go, all right, let's top that story.
Yeah, we better stay on topic today.
That's right. Well, Wes preaches for the Forest Park Church of Christ in Valdosta, Georgia, and he's married to Shelley, and they have two children. But Wes, other than just kind of the usual bullet points, tell our listeners a little about yourself, and then we'll get rolling with the topic in a couple of minutes.
Well, you kind of gave it. I'm originally from Missouri. That's where I know you, of course, and preached all over in Illinois and Tennessee, Kentucky. Been here in Georgia for about a year, and went to Fried Hardman. I have a bachelor's and master's from there, and just about to finish my doctorate from Southern Seminary in Louisville, and I returned from a mission trip about a week ago, so that keeps me pretty busy, and just the busy life trying to serve the Lord.
Very good. And I totally have forgotten, I've blanked out here. What is the doctorate degree in that you're pursuing and about to finish up?
It's in biblical spirituality.
That's right. I could not think of it to save my life, but we're proud of you for doing that. You've been going to school for a long time
and that's earned, what my wife earned says. That doctorate degree. Yeah. That my wife says I'm done. So.
You're not going to go for the triple doctorate or anything like that? Or
no, those people have problems, I think.
Do you want me to edit that out?
I don't care. No, that's fine.
Well, very good. As we said at the end of last week's program, Lee and I spent some time last week talking just about kind of our own personal ups and downs and try to be honest about some budgeting things, some family finance things. And this is a topic, Wes, that you and I have kind of talked about here and there. You've actually written a book on giving called Beyond the Tithe. You wrote that several years ago. And so when I was thinking about someone to kind of follow that podcast up with just some basic family budgeting principles and family finance principles, I thought of you, and we're glad you've joined us this week to talk about that.
Sure. Sure. I guess I put together maybe five bullet points for us to talk about this morning, just some things that I wish I had thought about more when I was starting out my financial journey. And I don't know how much budgeting help I can be. I know you guys have done a lot of that, but just some major principles that will help us in our walk, both with God and with the resources He's given to us. So.
Good. We're going to kind of just hit each one and talk about each one a little bit, kind of laid-back approach here. And Wes has kind of just laid out for us just kind of some five foundational principles and for family finances, and that's what we're looking forward to. So, Wes, kind of give us number one here, and you and I will kind of vamp a little bit for a few minutes on each one.
Sure. Well, you know, the very first thing that came to my mind that I think people need to really spend some time thinking about is just to remember that God's the one that gave it to us. Whatever it is, you know, whether you're just barely scraping by or you've got tons of money, God's the one that gave it to us. And we have a tendency to think that we're the ones who have earned the things that we have. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking of, I was trying to think of biblically about each one of these, and I couldn't help but think about back in Deuteronomy when the nation of Israel was about to be blessed in a physical way by God. And God warns them, you know, and he talks about whenever they come into this land that they need to beware lest they think that they're the ones who have done all of these things. I can read it in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says in verse 10, when you have eaten and you're satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. But beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and ordinances. And then down in verse 17, he says something that I thought was really interesting. He said, if you forget this, otherwise you may say in your heart that my power and the strength of my hands made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers. And I just think that that's so foundational to understand that what we have has much more to do with God than it has to do with us.
Mm-hmm. That's a great principle, and I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, I've tried to preach that and try to live by that, you know, for a while now. That, you know, even if you don't have a whole lot, you know, or whatever you have, God gave you the ability even just to have the job, no matter what the paycheck is.
That's right. That's right. Or even the abilities to do what you do.
Right. Exactly.
You know that they're and obviously the principles of hard work and the principles of you know, reaping what you sow. Those are very biblical principles. But what I've found in doing counseling with folks is that a lot of times people get very wrapped up in what they've done, that they've worked the overtime or they've went to school or they've done this or they've done that. And all those things may be true. But the reality is it has a lot more to do with God than it has to do with them. And, you know, I have some friends who are very, very wealthy. And by that, I mean they have more than I have.
He's not talking about me, folks. I guarantee.
Yeah, no. But you know, they're very fond when you talk about the things that they have to talk about. Well, we work hard, and while that's a very true statement, they do work hard, and they've worked hard for the things that they have. There are people all over this world who work extremely hard every day,
mm-hmm.
who have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I think about my own grandpa was a sharecropper. And he probably worked harder than I've ever worked in my life.
Right.
But he never had the things that I have. And that's what God's telling Israel. And I think that's what God's telling us is when you're blessed, and it's easy to read your own press clippings and think, I've made it and I can make all the decisions about it. That's when it's so important to take a step back and to say, God's the one who's blessed me. Even with the ability, to use you for example. You know, that not everyone has the ability to get up in front of people and speak.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, that's a terrifying prospect. But God made you that way. God gave you some of those abilities. God gives some people the ability to work with their hands, the ability to work with numbers, the ability to work with people. And that's what he's saying, that you need to remember it is God who is even giving you the power to make wealth. So we need to remember that God's the one that gave it to us.
I couldn't help but think while you were talking there, Wes, about kind of a negative example that, you know, Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4, I think it's about verse 30, where he said, you know, is not this Babylon the great that I have built? You know,
from a human standpoint,
yes, he did build that, or he at least, you know, led the project, but he never realized, you know, God gave me the wisdom, God gave me the ability to hire people or to figure this out and all that. He never gave God the glory for any of it, and that's where all the problems came from.
That's right. That's right.
So bullet point number one for our families to remember is that God is the one who gave it to us. All right, let's go on to number two.
Well, I would say number two, and I think this especially has to do with budgeting, is that we need to honor God. And by that, I honor God with the things that he has given to us. And I think these things build upon themselves. But this leads into our worship. And in particular, I would talk about how we worship God with the possessions that he's given to us. How do we acknowledge that we believe that these things really do belong to him? And I think that begins with when we come together on the first day of the week. You remember, for example, in Malachi, when the people are accused of robbing God. And of course, you know, they say, well, how have we robbed God? In Malachi 3 in verse 8. And he says, you have robbed God in your tithes and offerings. And when you're sitting down to make out a budget, and I remember And my first job, that budget consisted of $300 a week, and my first full-time job. So there wasn't a lot to go around in that.
didn't take a
But
long
the
time to do
very,
the budget, did it?
it didn't. No, it did not. No, it did not. But when you sit down to do that, the very first thing that you have to do is to take that tithe, to take that tenth, and say, "This belongs to God. I'm going to honor God and recognize He's the one who's given me these things." You know, you made reference to the book that I wrote several years ago, but really the whole premise of that book ultimately is that if we're to be a people who are going to do biblical things in biblical ways and give book, chapter, and verse, at the very least that we can find justification for in the Word of God for how we worship Him with our offering is to give a tenth. The most, of course, is 100. If you want to give 100, God is more than willing to be honored in that way. But the least is the tenth. And when we go below that, we find ourselves in a territory that is of our own creation, doing what we decide is best. So I would say the point number two, we need to honor God by at least giving Him a tenth, on the first day of the week.
All right, and we will, by the way, we'll link to that, the book in the show notes for people who are listening to the podcast and they want to click over and find more about Beyond the Tithe. That'll be at fondfamily.com/POD61, so people can find that book. Yeah, you hear people talk all the time, Wes, and I like the way it's put. There's different ways of wording it, but you know that we need to make God, and we need to make sure God is the first line of the budget, not the last, or that He doesn't just get the leftovers. However you think
That's
about
right.
that, it seems cliche, but it's absolutely true.
Yeah, that's and you have to be intentional, because my personal experience is if God doesn't come first, then He will come last. We don't tend to put God in the middle very well.
That's a good way of putting it. That's right.
Yeah.
All right, so we need to remember that God gave it to us. We need to honor God, and we're obviously speaking there about our giving in worship. What's number three?
Yeah, I would say number three is almost a takeoff of that verse in Malachi 3. Where he says that they've robbed God in regards to their tithes, but he also says in regards to their offerings that point number three for me would be that we need to be generous and ready to share. And it's an element of our budgeting and our finances that we don't talk about very much in the church, mainly because we struggle with just the tenth. I mean, if we could get to a tenth in most of our congregations, it would be change the world. But the biblical standard and the biblical challenges is far beyond that, and probably not the purpose of the podcast today, but to explore that idea of what does he mean when he talks about and offerings? Someone said that the tithe is more like training wheels to teach us about our possessions, and we go beyond that. But there's a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6 where Timothy is speaking to the rich, and he tells them not to be conceited, not to put their hopes in their riches. And by the way, for most of us, at least I can speak for the two of us, we are the rich. And if you don't believe that, then travel the world a little bit.
That's
we are
right.
so incredibly blessed.
Absolutely.
I hope that statement can stand for itself. But when he instructs them, he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 18 that he is to instruct them to do good. To be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. So it's not an element that we say, okay, I've taken care of God and I've given this tenth, and now everything else is for me. That's not God's intent at all.
That's right.
God's intent is for us to worship Him and then to go out and to continue to use the things that He blessed us with to bring glory to His name and to be His hands and to be His feet, to be generous and ready to share. I'm constantly looking for how can I use what God has blessed me with to help another person in His name. And He says that's actually how you store up treasures for yourself in heaven. The next verse.
Well, that's a great point, and it's something that, you know, I'm not trying to soften what you just said. I'm trying to just give a reminder. We may have some listeners who don't think they are rich, and like you said, if they're listening to a podcast on an iPhone, they're pretty much qualifies
yeah.
them as rich. But even if you don't have a whole lot of money made by American standards, the principle of being generous, you know, with time and talents also applies. Even though specifically he's talking about money, if you'll even just begin with time and talents, pretty soon you'll find yourself wanting to give more money and help people generously with finances.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about and how our mind, you know, we how we view ourselves is that what we do with our possessions is always, biblically speaking, a proportional thing. That God's not asking us to give more than He's given to us. For example, you know, even when you go back to giving a tenth, well, for somebody making $300 a week, that means something very different as opposed to someone making $3,000 a week.
That's right.
And the more that God blesses us, the more God expects us to do. And I think that would be true about both of those principles. And we just need to take some time to acknowledge exactly how much God has blessed us.
That's right. That's a great way of putting it there. And people need to hear that you know, for someone who makes, like you said, $200 or $300 a week, it's hard to give a tenth. It really is. But if you'll start there, pretty soon you'll see that it's not as hard maybe as you think, but also that you'll see God's blessings being real and realized. You'll feel more generous and actually be more generous. So we need to be generous, willing to share. Well, what's number four, Wes?
Well, if I was to give some advice to someone, you know, really just starting out with their finances, I would have to say avoid debt. Avoid it like the plague. And I know that debt has a place. I have a home mortgage. I even have a small mortgage, not a mortgage. I have a loan. I don't know if you call it a mortgage, but I have a loan even on one vehicle. But we need to understand that debt is very dangerous. You know, Proverbs 22 and verse 7 gives us that principle that the borrower becomes slave to the lender. And that's true. And you don't always understand that when you first begin to accumulate debt. You think you're just getting things. And it's a year down the road or 3 or 4 years down the road that you realize, I've got all these bills and I have to pay them every month. And I mean, it affects your life. I would contend that there are a lot of people who don't give generously, who aren't ready to share simply because they committed themselves and overextended themselves through debt. Learn to be content and to pay cash for things, and it will help you in your Christian walk, but it will also just help you in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, I'm going to invoke the name of Dave Ramsey here, Wes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
how could you not?
Yeah. Well, and whether somebody agrees with everything he teaches, I don't agree with everything he teaches. But one of the principles that I appreciate him bringing up over and over when he talks about that verse in Proverbs as well as other biblical teachings is, you know, debt is never considered in Scripture a salvation issue. But the Bible makes it very clear that being especially excessive in debt is completely unwise. And he mentions over and over how you never see debt used in the Bible as a blessing or as a positive. It's always used as, you know, as an unwise thing. And that's just a, you know, important principle to remember, that it's not a heaven or hell thing necessarily. It's just this God is saying, this isn't smart.
Yeah. And I would say, especially in our culture where debt is so easy to obtain, that it can quickly become even a salvation issue, as it leads us into materialism.
Right.
It leads us into an unsatisfying desire to quench our thirst for material things, which can definitely take our soul. And I mean, like I said, I don't think that's a sin, but debt is a vehicle that leads people to sin many times if we do not understand exactly what it is that we're dealing with.
That's right, and that's a great way of putting it, that it can lead there, you know, the greed, the worldliness, and even just the... For some people, not everyone, for some people, even just the apathy, I just won't pay this back off. I won't work to pay it off. And again, bankruptcy is not something that's necessarily a sin, but if it's done just because I'm too lazy to to work at it, that's another issue. So it has all sorts of tentacles that are very very dangerous for people. So avoid debt. Like you said, avoid it like the plague if possible. And then what's number five for us?
Live on less than you make. And Amen. Once again, that means something different to everyone. But one of the things, and it was, I guess you could say, a mistake that we've made in our life, is just spending every dime that we have and thinking that, well, when I have more, then I'll save, or then I'll give, or then I'll be generous. And what I found in my life is that the more I make, the more I spend. And I distinctly remember hearing about, when I was in my first work, hearing about a new preacher that got hired a couple of towns over, and it kind of got around to the preachers of what they were paying this guy. And I remember thinking, that's crazy. What would you ever do with so much money? I remember thinking that. And I won't say the amount on it, but suffice to say, I make considerably more money than that now. And I still don't have a lot of extra. You know, I still have to be very intentional to keep from just spending every dime that I have. And I think that that's part of the fleshly side of us and the material thirst that sometimes we have. But things as simple as, you know, when I'm looking to purchase a home, well, just because I can't afford a home that costs $250,000 doesn't mean I have to do that. Or just because I can get a loan on a vehicle that costs $40,000, ouch, that doesn't mean that that's a wise thing to do.
That made my stomach churn just to hear you say that number on a car.
Well, but well, people do that every day simply because they say, well, I can afford it. And what they mean is, if I mortgage everything and if I spend every dime, then I can make a payment on that. And what that's going to do is create stress in their life, stress in their family, and it's going to have a detrimental effect. And so to be intentional, we just bought a home, which is a very nice home, by the way, and we're very pleased with our home. But when we were looking, you know, it was very tempting to say, well, we could afford this home over here that costs another $60,000. And we had to be very intentional to say, well, you know what? I think we would be better off if we bought something that costs a little bit less. And no, we don't have granite countertops, even though I'd like to have them. And I have had them in the past. But that's okay. You know, you're never going to keep up with the Joneses, right? Because not even the Joneses keep up with themselves.
I heard someone say one time, Wes, you won't keep up with the Joneses because the Joneses are trying to keep up with the Jetsons.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, when we were quite a bit younger, I asked my wife about some people. And all around us, people had all of these things. And I said, how do they afford it? Because I had some idea about what they made and what I made. And I wouldn't think I was just, you know, lighting dollar bills on fire or anything. And she said something that always rang in my ear. And I said, how do they afford it? She said, they don't. They don't afford it. Mm-hmm. People are completely maxed out on credit cards and loans. And what you see is it affects their life. It affects their marriage. It affects their soul. I know people, I mean, even in the church, who are good people, but they can't even worship God because they're bowing down at the altar of self, and they've bought cars and vehicles and vacations. And that's true. I don't want that to be the case. I want to have the freedom and the flexibility that I can worship God, that if there's someone who comes and they need help, that I'm going to be able to help them. I want to have enough money that if I want to take my family out to Taco Bell for dinner, that I don't have to worry about that. That's not always been the case,
right?
Because we simply spend every dime that we have. So I guess point number five would be to learn to live on less than you make.
Yeah, I heard someone say, I wish I could remember where I first saw this, Wes, but kind of tying those last two together, avoiding debt and living on less than you make. I heard someone say once that we're the first people in the history of the world who will celebrate a $250 a month raise in salary by rewarding ourselves with a $300 a month car payment.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Jesus talked a lot about this subject, but in Luke 12 and verse 15, he told us, he said, beware, be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And it is in that abundance that so many of us live, or hope to live in at least, that we are so tempted to think that this is really what it's all about. Well, that's a lie of the devil, but it's a lie that even I admit, and I am very often ready to believe, and I have to watch that.
Well, it's true that, you know, sometimes we think, you know, if I follow this plan, if I don't have debt, if I pay off my house, all these things, and one of these days, you know, my wife and I have, you know, whatever, a few hundred thousand dollars in retirement. Usually the first thing we think of is, well, then we can travel, then we can, you know, do this and this. And we never, I shouldn't say never, but usually last on that list is, oh, we might be able to give some more away or give some more to the
That's
Lord.
Right.
Instead of that should be the first thing. You know, we have this abundance, so how can we honor God with it?
That's right. That's right.
So we need to make sure that we understand that God is the one who gave us everything. We need to honor God. We spoke there specifically about our giving. We need to make sure that we are generous and willing to share. We need to avoid debt, avoid it like the plague, and then live on less than we make. Wes, these are wonderful foundational principles, and I just appreciate you taking some time to record this with me today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Far more than that, Wes, I'm thankful we're friends. I hope, look, as this is being released, we'll have seen each other, but I'm looking forward as recording this to seeing you at Polish in the Pulpit in a few weeks.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Wes preaches for the Forest Park Church of Christ in Valdosta, Georgia. We'll link to that in the show notes as well so you can find out more about the good work that congregation does in the southern part of Georgia. We appreciate you for listening with us in the program today. Next week, or next, excuse me, next time, 2 weeks from today, we'll be joined by Brother Brad McNutt, who will be talking about building a library for your children, and we're looking forward to that program. And until then, remember your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.